So here, this is a very instructive verse and a very extensive purport by Prabhupada. So here we found that Daksha is being instructed by the Lord to create progeny as a progenitor. That was his service. And then Prabhupada quotes here Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, Bhuteshu kamo asmi, I am sex that is not contrary to religious principles. In that verse also he says that I am the strength of man, devoid of passion and desire. So why Krishna is speaking like this? It is explained in the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text number 5. There we found Arjuna referring to the Lord as Bhuta Bhavana. Bhuta Bhavana. And this is translated by different acharyas, like Siddhar Swami explains that Bhuta Bhavana refers to the Lord as illuminator and the cause of all causes for all beings. And Sankaracharya, he explains it as the creator of all beings and the maintainer of all beings. That's Bhuta Bhavana, as Arjuna is referring to Krishna in the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text number 5. So here, the Lord, as the illuminator, he is illuminating Daksha with this spirit of devotion in a form of procreation. Of course, Prabhupada gives a lot of advice regarding this service that was given to Daksha, which I wouldn't really indulge in because of so many points that have been discussed there, which everyone have understood or everyone knows. So that is the position of the Lord, that he is Bhuta Bhavana, the creator and the maintainer of all beings, the illuminator, the cause of all causes. So then, there here he says he is the sex that is not contrary to religious principles. So just as I was explaining yesterday how in conditional life the Jivatma approaches the Lord in four ways. Bhaya, Asa, Kartavya, Beauty, and Raga. Within Kartava, Beauty, Buddhi, or sense of duty, and there are also few considerations. One is Vidhi Samana, which means upholding the rules. And then Avidhi Parityagya means avoidance of those things that are contrary to the rules. So in that way, those who are following this process of duty, like Prajapati Daksha, they also accept these two other considerations, upholding the rules and avoiding things that are contrary to the rules, so that they can succeed in their performance of the devotional service to the Lord. Like in the case of Daksha here, he is the progenitor. So this is the nature of the Absolute Truth, as well as the nature of his energies. Like the jivas are also his energies. Mam evamsa jivaloke jiva-bhuta sanatana mana sastrandiyani prakritisthani karshati. So in that verse of Bhagavad Gita, karshati means that we are of the same quality as the Lord. We belong to the culture of love, the culture of compassion, the culture of liberation, and the culture of constant festival. But in conditional life, the Lord says, karsati begin, or the life of struggle. So these rules and regulations of Dharma, they are able to keep the passions of the jiva so that he can remain connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Prabhupada explains here, that this union of man and woman in marriage is part of Dharma. Dharma is that principle which reestablishes or maintains the relationship between the jivatmas and the Supreme Lord. So, in the Tattva Sutra by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he also explained this principle, because the nature of the jiva is that of vichara, wanting to know, and raga means want to enjoy things and become attached. So he explains that in Tattva Sutra 17, that this attachment, which is inherently born with the jiva, it takes many forms. It acquires many forms in the material world according to circumstances. He gives an example that when the same attachment is applied to brothers and sisters at home, it takes a form of affection. When the same attachment is applied to people who are kind to us, people who are our benefactors, it takes a quality of gratitude. When the same attachment is applied to, like man and women attraction, or excessive man and women attraction, it becomes debauchery. A man or a woman will be known as a debauchee or fallen. But when the same attachment is applied to over-accumulating wealth, and then a man become known as a miser. So the same thing takes different forms or acquire different names according to how it is applied or perceived in the material world. So the same attachment, when it is applied in relationship to the Supreme Lord, and then it becomes love of Godhead, prema. The example is that with Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his song, Janaka Janani Daita Tana Prabhu Guru Pati Sarvatuhumo Sampade Vipade Daita Tana Dai Mama Giratua Opada Barahana Manasa Geho Geho Jokin Chumor Ad Pirutua Pade Nanda Kishor. There he says, Janaka Janani, that you are my mother, my father, my preceptor, my lover, you are my husband. Oh Lord, you are everything to me. In good times, in bad times, I have no fear since I have taken those lotus feet of yours. Mind, body, whatever may be mine, I have surrendered everything at your lotus feet, O youthful son of Nanda Maharaj, Nanda Kishore. So this is the consciousness of a devotee who has become attached, but his attachment is in relation to Krishna. So our attachment, which in the material world makes this material world go around, can also become a source of connection to the Supreme Lord. And that is how Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in Dharva Sutra. But the same thing, which in the material world becomes a source of bondage, when it is applied in devotional service, it becomes the source of connection at the lotus feet of Krishna. So this is the consciousness of a devotee, that he sees everything in relation to the Lord. Just like when Prabhupada was staying at some place, he heard the cry of a child next to his room. So he inquired from his servant, why this Mataji is beating a child so heavily? And then the servant went to the Mataji to inquire as to why she was beating the child. So then the Mataji gave the answer that, see this boy, he has an elder brother who is sick with typhoid. But this naughty boy, having been asked by his brother who is sick for paratha, he gave him paratha. That's why I'm punishing him. Because paratha is not good for the sick person. So Prabhupada, when he heard this, he said, yes, this is the laws of nature, that our affection, our compassion, if they are not applied proper, and then the material nature punishes us. This matter stands for material nature. So the boy, although he acted out of kindness, but his kindness is not applicable to someone who is diseased. Therefore, the mother was right to punish him. So the mother stands for the laws of material nature. Prabhupada explaining that when we wrongly apply our sentiments, when we wrongly apply our kindness, we may get punished by the laws of nature. So that is why there are certain principles that comes with the process of devotion service. But these principles protect the jiva so that he can grow very nicely in devotion service. So this is why we have the principles that we follow. Because these principles are the shield against the influence of the material energy. So this is the nature of the absolute truth. So Jiva Goswami also quoting this verse, Vedanti Tattva Viras Tattvam Yat Gyanam Adoyam Brahmeti Paramamiti Bhagavan Iti Sapriyati. So in Tattva Sandarbha, regarding the nature of God or the Absolute Truth, Jiva Goswami is quoting this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which explains that the transcendentalist who knows the Absolute Truth calls that substance Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So Bhagavan is a complete aspect of God. which includes everything, the creation, the maintenance, or sustenance. So everything we can understand, it comes from Bhagavan, including the creation of living beings. Just like so many, many philosophers, like Carl Jung, he was a philosopher in Sweden. No, not Carl Jung, was Jean-Paul Sartre. He was a French philosopher. In his teaching, these are materialistic gurus who are misleading the society. In his teachings, he concludes that the living entities, we living beings, we were thrown into this material world. And therefore, since we were thrown here and left alone to see to ourselves, since we were abandoned, we should take responsibility of organizing ourselves. In other words, he's encouraging that we should become more materialistic. But when you talk about throwing, it implies a thrower. There must be a thrower. We were thrown by who? He doesn't want to delve in that aspect. He said it doesn't matter who threw us there. We should just try to organize ourselves in this material world in such a way that we can live very safely and very comfortable, because we are actually abandoned. If there was a God, he doesn't mind. He said, but God has abandoned us. Therefore, we should take the responsibilities. So, because of these different atheistic philosophies, another one, like Charles Darwin's theory of evolution, basically, in conclusion, he is giving us a hint regarding our origin, that our forefathers were chimpanzees. Due to the process of evolution, now we are what we are. And just as animals in the jungle, they struggle. There is always a competition for territory. So life is a survival of the fittest. You should stand firm to protect your territory. So these kind of conceptions have resulted in making man very aggressive and very passionate for acquiring more and more lands, more and more facilities for his material expansions. But from Srimad Bhagavatam, we can understand how we originate from the Lord through Prajapatis like Daksha. We belong to a very high class society. The society that is dedicated to following the higher standard of principles, the principles that lead to the connection with the son of Nanda Maharaj. Not the society, not the culture that is dedicated to consumption and gratification as it is propagated by personalities like Carl Jung, Charles Darwin, and many other materialistic gurus. But we belong to a culture of constant festivals, constant celebration, the culture of eternal bliss. But owing to ignorance and wrong association in the material world, you found that many jivas have made a great success in denying the existence of the Lord. Therefore, Jiva Goswami, quoting this verse, Brahmati, Bhagavan iti sabjate. Yeah, the word there in that verse, Gyanam, Yat Gyanam Adoyam. Jiva Goswami, he translated as knowledge. And then he explains what this knowledge means. He explains that in Tatpasandarbha, that this knowledge actually refers to that entity when we talk about God or the absolute reality. We refer to that entity who is exclusively pure consciousness. And that entity is exclusively pure consciousness for few reasons. One is that we do not have any experience of any entity that is self-existent. The entity that is existing without depending on the energies that are being supplied with the universe. Another reason is that this entity that we call the Absolute Truth, it takes support only from its own potencies. And that these potencies, they can have no other existence without it as their absolute foundation. These are three reasons that Jiva Goswami gave regarding why the Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as that entity who is exclusively pure consciousness. So that's the reason why here, or in the Bhagavad Gita, is known as Buddha Bhavana, the illuminator, the cause of all other entities, because he is exclusively pure consciousness. He does not take any support from outside himself. He takes support from his own potencies. This is what makes the Lord complete. And because he is complete, Shrishu Upanishad explains that all emanations from him are also complete in themselves. So in that sense, we are complete in our relationship with the Lord. That's why it says, Mama Vamsa Jiva Loke, Jiva Buddha Sanatana, that we are parts and parcels. So as parts and parcels, we live eternally. But owing to the nature of this material, the covering, we may feel as though we are dying, but actually we live eternally. So this concept of thinking that we are dying, it brings the living entities under five types of ignorance, according to the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The first type of ignorance is called Dhammishra. Dhammishra is anger, the anger of frustration. Like we have seen in the case of Hiranyakashipu, when he was frustrated with Prahlad, he became very, very angry because he thought himself the Lord of this universe. That's Dhammishra. And then Andha Tamishra involves the belief or the concept that there is no life after death. Hiranyakashipu and some of his associates uphold this principle very, very strongly. And then after Andha Tamishra, there is Tamas. Tamas is the ignorance that comes with lack of knowledge regarding the spirit soul. And then the fourth type of ignorance is called moha, illusion, that I am this body. And then when the jivatma think that I am this body, and then he think that, yes, this is me, therefore anything in relation to the body is mine. And that is called maha moha. So these are five types of ignorance that covers the jivatma when he or she forgets his relationship with the Lord. So in order to protect the jiva from these different types of coverings, Dharma comes with principles to be followed. We see also this in ancient beliefs, like in the Greek religion, in initial Greek religion, before the Olympians, they had two principles, Themis and Tabu. Themis means lawful activities, and Tabu means that which is a cause of social disaster or unlawful activities. So this culture of Dharma was spread all over. Even if you study the ancient Egyptians, the Mayan civilization, religion, you can study many, many, many cultures, the Celtics, the Druids here in Britain. Also, they were upholding these principles. What is good for the society and what is not good for society? What was considered not good for the society was avoided. So these are part of the principles also that were held up in the Vedic era for the people to prosper and also attain liberation. Otherwise, outside these principles is all taboo, is all pandemonium. Yes, the jiva immediately experiences what is called Victoria Falls syndrome. You heard of Victoria Falls in Africa between Zimbabwe and Zambia. There is this huge river called Zambezi. And in one town called Livingston, there is a big rock which was named by the British Victoria Falls. So Victoria Falls is a very big falls. I think it's the biggest in the world. So when you come closer to it, even before you see it, you'll hear tons and tons of water hitting the rock below. You'll hear the sound. So the Victoria Falls syndrome is when the jiva does not care about anybody. It's when the jivatma becomes narcissistic. He doesn't care about the mother, the father, the government, or anything authoritarian. He's busy rowing his boat down the streams of the river Zambezi, not knowing that ahead there is a big rock named Victoria Fall. So as he approaches on his boat, as he hears tons of water hitting the rock below, he will think, oh, how did I get myself in this mess? So sometimes, due to being neglectful of the rules of Dharma, we see that the whole world is approaching the area of pandemonium. But when we follow Dharma, when we receive the instructions of the Supreme Lord, and then we can live very successfully in this world and also attain the lotus feet of Krishna, like the Acharyas, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and many, many, many great personalities. So this is the instruction that is given here in Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll read the verses again. O my dear son Daksha, Prajapati Panchajana has a daughter named Askni, whom I offer to you so that you may accept her as your wife. Now unite in sexual life as men and women, and in this way, by sexual intercourse, you will be able to beget hundreds of children in the womb of this girl to increase population. Any comment, Prabhus and Matajis?